Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Autism Empowerment Radio, your source for acceptance, enrichment, inspiration, and empowerment within the autism and Asperger's communities. Our show will be starting shortly. To listen to archives of previous broadcasts, visit www.autismempowerment.org and click the Autism Empowerment Radio tab. As a nonprofit charity, we rely on public generosity to fund our programs, special events, and support services. Thank you for considering a tax-deductible donation today. Our show is now beginning.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Autism Empowerment Radio. My name is Karen Krejcha, and I'm the I've got a frog in my throat this morning, but not literally. I'm the Executive Director for Autism Empowerment and also your host for today's show. As you heard in our pre-recorded intro, Autism Empowerment is a nonprofit 501c3 charity. We are based out of Vancouver, Washington, and we aim to serve and support individuals of all ages and abilities within the autism and Asperger communities locally, nationally, and worldwide. We also serve spectrum families, caregivers, educators, and service providers. The date this show is being recorded is Saturday, February 2nd, 2013. This is our 48th show since launching in June of 2012. We invite you to check out our previous broadcasts by subscribing to our blogtalkradio.com podcast or by finding us through iTunes. You can also go to autismempowerment.org and click the Autism Empowerment Radio tab. In just a minute, I'll be bringing on my special guest, Matt Friedman, a clever cartoonist, writer, and creator of the popular online cartoon, Dude, I'm an Aspie. I know this is going to be a fun show. But before I bring that on air, I want to give a special thanks to my last guest, Yvonne Mikulinchak, director of the Asperger Women's Association. She shared with us the history behind their organization as well as some of her own personal history, growing up as an undiagnosed Aspie and being diagnosed at age 56. We like to have an interesting mix of guests on our show, and our upcoming lineup is really great. Be sure to tune in on Wednesday, February 6th at noon Pacific Standard Time when we'll be speaking with Jonathan Murphy, an Aspie voiceover artist and actor from the San Francisco Bay Area. Then on Friday, February 8th at noon Pacific Standard Time, we'll be interviewing Joey Shadler, an Eagle Scout on the autism spectrum from Mississippi who's doing great things mentoring other scouts and advocating against bullying. At Autism Empowerment Radio, our goal is to promote acceptance, enrichment, inspiration, and empowerment within the autism and Asperger communities. If you know of anyone who might make a great guest for our show, please contact us at www.autismempowerment.org. Remember, Autism Empowerment is about all of us. It's listeners and supporters like you that allow Autism Empowerment Radio to be on air and get the word out to others. Are you on Facebook or Twitter? Like us, follow us, and give us a shout-out. Share our message with your online network. Share it with your in-person network. However you think you can help, whatever that looks like for you, we appreciate it. Together, daily, we can all work to make positive change in the world we live in. Okay, so it's time to switch gears. I haven't met many of you listeners personally, but if we met and if we became close friends, you'd eventually figure out that I have a quirky sense of humor. For some reason, there's this bizarre myth out there that people with autism on the spectrum have little to no sense of humor, which I think is utter nonsense. Some of the funniest people I know are Aspies or fall somewhere along the autism spectrum. My two sons have an awesome sense of humor. Now, granted, our humor may sometimes be a bit silly, a bit dry, a bit inappropriate, or even an acquired taste, we definitely have a sense of humor. It just may look a little different. So let's go ahead and put an end to that myth. Speaking of humor, it comes in different forms, and one of my favorite forms to enjoy growing up was cartoons. I love Saturday morning cartoons, and I adored reading the Sunday funnies. I think we all have our favorites and not-so-favorites. So I was really thrilled when I came across an Aspie cartoonist online who is promoting autism awareness in a really cool way, utilizing humor. Today I'm bringing on, for your listening pleasure, humor cartoonist, writer, blogger, Asperger's advocate, and nonprofit fundraiser marketer Matt Friedman. Through his writing and cartooning at dudeimanaspie.com, Matt gives a window into his everyday life, its highs and lows, with both honesty and humor. He's also published the Dude, I'm an Aspie book in both an adult and children's version to promote greater understanding of people on the autism spectrum. I'm really interested in hearing more about his story, and I'm sure you are too. So without any further ado, let us bring him on air. Matt, welcome to Autism Empowerment Radio.
Hi there.
Hi, Matt. Thank you so much for coming on air.
Thanks for having me.
It is a pleasure. And, you know, I forgot to mention in my intro that Matt is willing to take calls today. So if there's anyone out there who listens to our show and they have a call for Matt, a question for Matt, you can go ahead and call in at 602-753-1530. And I'll repeat that one more time. It's 602-753-1530. And sometimes we get so involved in conversations that we may not get a chance to take your call. If so, we can always reach Matt later at his website, dudeimandaspie.com. So thank you so much. And we'll go ahead and get started, Matt. Some of our listeners out there may not be familiar with Dude, I'm an Aspie, and I know a lot of them are. But if you could, please tell us about your cartoon and how it came to be.
Okay. Well, it kind of starts with my first learning what Asperger's was a couple of years ago, I guess about 4 years ago now. I was in my mid-30s at the time, and it was really the first time I came across the term Asperger's and just started learning about it. And the more I learned, I was more and more convinced that it was describing me. And I know it started with like those online quizzes you find, and then moved on to autism message boards, and then eventually books I started to read. And I really took a lot of time to understand as much as I could, and got connected with the online community. And as it became kind of more and more of a fit to me, I felt comfortable self-identifying as a person with Asperger's.
Sure.
I was still making up my mind whether I should go for a professional diagnosis at the time. But while trying to make that decision, I had learned enough about it that I felt comfortable telling others about it. And so the first cartoon came about by my desire to disclose. And it was a private Facebook photo album, actually. Because I just started with my Facebook friends, and so I posted this photo album that was a series of cartoons with captions that, you know, if you see the very first Dude, I'm an Aspie post, that's it in its original form. And just my hope was to explain to neurotypicals what Asperger's is, just how it feels to be me stripped down to the basics. And then you wonder why do it as a cartoon, of course. So, and to me, it had to be a cartoon. One of the things when I learned about Asperger's that was most fascinating to me was the idea of special interests.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was deciding whether or not this label fit me, I thought, you know, what did I do that I used to do that could be considered a special interest? And the first thing that came to mind was cartooning. Because I was an obsessive doodler in elementary school. It's kind of like an underground newspaper of my own on just notebook paper, numbered volumes, very organized. And
Do you still have some of your original work?
Yeah.
That's
great. You can actually see it in one of my old posts. You can see some of the old stuff. And so realizing that that's why I had done it, because it was a special interest. And so it finally made sense why I had done it that way, finally.
And what made you decide, now that you kind of took up your special interest back again, what made you decide to start an online blog?
Yeah. So like I said, it started with a private photo album on Facebook, and I got a pretty good response from my friends saying, you know, oh, this helps. Thank you for doing this. I understand now. So it was good. It went over very well. Based on that, I started to share it a little more widely. I posted it on Wrong Planet after that, mm-hmm. the largest autism community out there. And on there, I started getting an audience of fellow adults with Asperger's, and they very much liked it as well. They found it really resonated with those people, and they're saying, you know, yes, this explains me. This is one of the best explanations I've seen. And from there, the blog came about just because of a comment somebody made saying, you know, I really want a link to this. But you should have it like as its own page, and so I ended up setting up the blog for it. And at that point, I didn't have any plans to do any more cartoons. It was just kind of going to be a standalone page for that post. But the comments kept coming in, and lots more positive feedback, and so I thought, why not do some more? And so I ended up doing more.
And how long ago was that when it started?
About a little over 3 years ago.
And so it sounds like the reception that you got was positive, and you just kept getting feedback that, hey, do some more of that, right?
Yes.
Keep cartooning?
Yep. And also, very early on, I got encouragement to publish it as a book. So that's how that came about.
Talk to us a little bit about that, because I know that you have a book in both adult and a children's edition. So explain that to our listeners.
Yes. So I was encouraged very much to put it out there, and within a couple months I was able to get the first edition of the book out there. And like I said, the original post was meant to be from an adult perspective. It was from my own perspective, and I never expected it to reach such a wide audience and to hear from so many parents as well who felt it was great to use with their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so as it continued to get popular, I heard from parents who were sharing it with their kids, even though it was talking about adult situations like business meetings and sarcastic phone conversations. Actually, one of the panels, there's some implied profanity on the part of Fuzzy while he's on the phone, misunderstanding some sarcasm. Not anticipating the problem of parents having to explain that to their children. Parents were asking me to do a kids' version. Also, teachers who wanted to use it in the classroom. And so last year I finally got around to updating it with kid-friendly situations, such as listening in class, trying new foods. But on the whole, it stays very true to the original.
I did notice that. I thought, it's the original, but just kind of an enhanced version for kids.
Yeah.
Now, where would, if our listeners wanted to pick this book up, either for themselves, for their kids, or for maybe their classrooms, how would they go about doing that?
Well, you can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, pretty much any major online bookseller. You can find the paperback for $5.99 or the ebook for $1.99. You can get it on iTunes as well. So pretty much just search whatever your favorite online bookstore is, or you can always just go to my website, dudeimanaspie.com, and it'll link you right there.
That sounds great. And that's an easy thing to remember, dudeimanaspie. So yeah. I think that's also your Twitter name, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. I wanted to ask you, first of all, I should have mentioned this further when I was talking originally, but I wanted to ask you to describe your main characters, because you mentioned Fuzzy, and I just kind of let our listeners know a little bit about the main characters of your cartoon.
Okay. Well, the main character is Fuzzy, who is the Aspie character. Fuzzy's distinguishing trait is most likely that he has a lot of angst, which is not uncommon with people on the spectrum. Fuzzy's adventures generally are most kind of channel my point of view a lot of the time, not always, but a lot of the time. Fuzzy's best friend / dog is Dinky Donuts, who's a neurotypical, but probably Fuzzy's best friend and understands him the most out of anybody. We have a Squishy Bird, who is a neurotypical and kind of an extreme extrovert, very excitable and kind of annoying, kind of a nemesis for Fuzzy. When Squishy Bird shows up, it's probably inevitable that he's going to end up being knocked out for being annoying, which goes way back to his origins many years ago. And then as far as major characters, we also have Baffle Giraffle, who is also an Aspie and is the facilitator of an Asperger's support group. And he was actually the first original character created for the Dude, I'm an Aspie strip. The other three actually go back many, many years to my childhood.
Oh, very interesting.
Yes.
Where do you get your cartoon ideas from, and how often do you post new cartoons on your blog?
The ideas come straight from real life. They always start from everyday life somehow, whether it's something in my daily routine or some situation or a conversation I have with someone. One example of that, there is a cartoon and a character called Inertia Weevil that has proven kind of popular with people. And Inertia Weevil is kind of like the magical genie who comes out of the lamp and gives you a shot of go-go juice to overcome your autistic inertia. And that came about just by my learning that was a real thing, autistic inertia and the difficulty of kind of getting up and getting going a lot of the time.
I was just going to say, does that go-to-go juice exist anywhere?
No, kind of wishful thinking that it did.
Yeah.
So the idea came with a conversation with another Aspie who said, boy, I wish I had go-go juice.
You know, I wish probably this morning and many mornings and many times that I had go-go juice as well. So.
Yes.
Was there anybody growing up that inspired your cartooning when you first started out?
I can think of lots of inspirations back when I started as a child, and I could say my style has changed very little, although I've gotten a little better since I've been doing the Dude, I'm an Aspie series. And I have no training in cartooning whatsoever, if that wasn't obvious. I'm completely self-taught. I kind of started around like age 9, age 10, and I was very much into Garfield at the time. And
mm-hmm.
You'll see kind of like the big round eyes, like Garfield characters, or a lot of my characters start with big round eyes. Also the Ed Emberley big drawing books, the big orange drawing book, the big green drawing book. We were always taking those out of the library at the time, and just the step-by-step drawing approach in those books really kind of made it accessible to kids like myself. Shel Silverstein as well, just his simple line drawings and his irreverent humor. I read a lot of comic books, DC Comics as well at the time.
Yes, okay. Yeah, a lot of the ones you're saying, I'm like, okay, I read that, I watched that.
Uh-huh.
That's pretty great. I'm always interested to hear, you know, just kind of a background of, you know, when people have a passion, a talent in a certain area, whether, you know, it just kind of came about themselves or whether they were inspired by someone else or kind of a combination of things. I wanted to ask you, and we're kind of switching gears here. You and I both grew up not knowing that we were Aspies until well into our adult lives. So our elementary school experience, middle school, high school, we were basically going without a diagnosis. And I was wondering what your life was like before you knew and had read about Asperger's syndrome and how you think it's changed since then.
Yeah, well, my self-identification really gave me answers I had been looking for a while. Really just kind of going through life, realizing that you're different and not knowing why that is, not really realizing there are others like you. And so the one cartoon in the original Dude, I'm an Aspie where Fuzzy saying it fits and it's finding a box I fit in, it's really kind of a feeling like that. self-identifying as with Asperger's connected me with a community, the online community, and of course gave me a reason to do cartoons again and a new purpose for doing them. As far as whether people treat me any differently in real life, they really don't, just because there's a name for what I have. I find that if people understand where I'm coming from, then they understand, and if not, then they don't. That doesn't really change. I know that I've had a lot of good conversations with certain friends who are really interested in my experience and wanting to know more, and I've learned that neurotypicals actually can relate to many parts of being autistic, and they even struggle with social situations at times. I mean, throughout life, I've just always been used to being misunderstood, and having a label doesn't change that very much. In my case, being an autistic person who can pass for neurotypical means that my differences can be kind of invisible until I do something unexpected, like misunderstanding a facial expression or reacting to overstimulation in the environment. So it can come as a surprise to people.
I hear you on that one. You know, yeah. A lot of times, you know, I have to decide whether or not I'm going to disclose to somebody. I'm not going to just walk up, "Hi, I'm Karen and I'm an Aspie." You know, the moment has to be right. But I know I get comments all the time, "What? You're an Aspie? What does that even mean?" And they don't realize that there are challenges that are behind the scenes. And, yeah. You know, that's something that I think when you're doing your cartooning, that's something where you can kind of put those types of things out there in a way that's non-threatening and funny, but with honesty that people will understand, and it promotes that acceptance. So I really like what you're doing with that.
Yeah, that's what I hope for.
Now, you also have characters from Dude, I'm an Aspie that have been incorporated into an animated show called Flummox and Friends.
Yeah.
Please tell us about that project, because I think that's kind of neat too, and any other upcoming projects that you have going on.
Yes, Flummox and Friends was very exciting to work on. If you're not familiar with Flummox and Friends, what it is a live-action comedy for elementary school-aged children who are struggling socially or emotionally with or without a diagnosis of autism or a related condition. You can kind of think of it as Pee-wee's Playhouse meets Electric Company meets The Big Bang Theory.
That's a great visual.
Yes. And the show is really, it's groundbreaking for being accepting of kids who are different just as they are, rather than expecting them to change. Most social skills programming for autism tries to teach kids how to act neurotypical, which is unrealistic and unfair to them. So Flummox and Friends is a different approach, and it manages to kind of convey an important message of acceptance, but at the same time, it's laugh-out-loud funny.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, one pilot episode has been made, which you can see at flummoxandfriends.com. The writing is amazing. The actors are fantastic. And so interspersed between the live action are several animated shorts, and one of which was written and drawn by me. I was approached, I guess, about a little over a year ago by the executive producer, Krista Dahlstrom. And from her first email, I knew immediately when I learned about the show that I wanted to be a part of it. Because we just have in common this quirky sense of humor with providing information that respects the intelligence of all ages. And Krista was awesome to work with. She really understood that I had a vision of how I wanted this animated short to look and to sound, and she really just let me follow that. And it turned out really great. It included my wanting to do the voice of Fuzzy, despite having never done voice acting. So that was very cool.
Oh, that's great. You know, we have a voiceover artist coming up on Wednesday, and you might want to listen into that. But I'm sure, you know, I'm sure that must have been really neat to bring Fuzzy to life.
Yes. And, you know, as I said, Fuzzy and Dinky Donuts, who were in the short, they are over 25 years old as characters. They go back to childhood. So now they're on the screen as part of this important show, Flummox and Friends. So it's a thrill.
That's great. Are there other, do you know, are they planning more episodes? I would imagine there's so much topic that they could cover.
Yeah, well, this is where we need your help. Everybody who maybe has seen the show or enjoys the show, if you want to see a whole series, you can help by sending in your comments and your feedback. Because what's happening is the creators are now looking for funding for an entire series, and they are approaching potentially investors with the feedback from the audience. And so if you go to flummoxandfriends.com and click on Watch the Show, you'll see a survey after you watch the show. And so you can complete the survey and send your comments in and tell them what a great show it is. And your comments are going directly to people who could potentially bring you more episodes.
That's wonderful. So that if they want to go ahead and do that, they go to flummoxandfriends.com.
Yes.
And then after they go ahead and watch it, a survey comes up, and then they can send their feedback that way.
I think the link is underneath the video, yes.
Okay, that sounds great. Are they a nonprofit organization as well?
I don't believe so.
Okay. I like the whole concept. I really do. And I think that, you know, the combining your cartooning in with their, you know, the live acting and just, you know, that message of including everyone for who they are, where they are at, and not focusing so much on the differences, but on you know, how they can work together is a really cool thing. So I'm really glad to hear that you're a part of that. And I wanted to ask you kind of along those lines, you know, in terms of vision, what is your vision for Dude, I'm an Aspie? For the empire, let's just say.
Yeah. You know, there's never been kind of a vision or a plan behind this. Every decision that I've made has been really driven by my audience. Can I do anything to put my work in front of more people with a minimum of effort on my part? That's how the blog came about. That's how the book came about. I was fortunate for the Flummox and Friends opportunity that came along, which was great. But, I mean, I'm happy just doing the blog and hearing from all the fans. And, keeps me busy.
And I remember when I was on your blog that on the side where you have a little bio of yourself, you also mentioned that you allow people to go ahead and republish your cartoon on their sites as long as they give you, of course, credit and linking information. Is that true still?
Yes, because my goal is always to raise awareness. That's the number one thing of any post that I do. So if people repost it, then you're raising awareness for autism and Asperger's. And that's what I want to do, educate and entertain as well.
Absolutely. And I think that our listeners out there should head on over to your website and check out all of the different cartoons you have going on. You had a really funny one recently called Snark Tank.
Yes.
That I just loved. So I wanted to ask you, on your blog, you also mentioned that you're a nonprofit fundraiser marketer. Please go ahead and tell us about that and what your visions are in that area as well.
Yes. Well, I do have a day job where I work as a grant writer for a nonprofit organization in fundraising. And I've been in that field for a little over 10 years now. It's just interesting because I have actually a blog post called Asperger's Advantages in the Workplace, which is actually my, I think, second most popular post of all time, which talks about, you know, Asperger's traits that are helpful in the workplace, like attention to detail, tolerance of repetition, honesty, logical thinking, and all of those things I really depend upon to do my job, which is a challenging job. Grant writing is a lot like puzzle solving, I think, in that you have to really take your argument and fit it within the parameters of a funder, to answer the particular questions that they ask in your grant application, and follow the page limit and give them, the exact information they're asking for. The other thing I do as part of my job is I keep track of all the donations for my organization, and that's a job that's highly dependent on accuracy and speed as well, and requires that I understand how to categorize information that's coming at me from many different sides. And while I am fortunate that I'm at the mild end of the spectrum, mild enough to be able to hold a full-time job, the workplace is full of challenges for people on the spectrum. Things like sensory issues, and there's all these rules of the workplace and expectations that you have to meet. And so I think it's so important for workplaces to be accommodating of people on the spectrum, because we can really be valuable members of the team.
What kind of accommodations would you suggest that employers consider that you think maybe they don't always think of?
Yeah, and it can be things that would not be obvious. I know one example in my case was I had a sensory issue with a server closet, of all things. There happened to be, if you're familiar with a computer server, it makes a lot of noise. It tends to hum all day long. And so I actually noticed this humming from my desk, and not like it was disruptive or anything, but it was just noticeable. And then at one point, my work area got moved closer to this closet, and from at that location, it would have been really disruptive to me. And so we kind of went through and saw, can we do anything about this? We can't, close the door to the closet because the heat's going to build up. And so we got the IT department involved and all, but we came up with a solution, which was actually we could keep the door mostly closed during the day and then open it back up when I leave so the heat can escape. But with that solution, it's all fine, and I have a work area where I can concentrate. Something just as small as that can be a big deal when you have sensory issues. As a matter of fact, there's a post I did called Hum from maybe a year ago or so, where Fuzzy's looking for this source of this mysterious hum and finds it in the server closet.
True to life, right?
Yeah.
And those types of things really can make a huge difference in how you're able to function. If you need to have that focus on writing, and you suddenly this noise is just coming from the background, it is very disruptive. And so it sounded like you being proactive was, very helpful. And it was a benefit to them as well. Of course, they want to have their employee happy, but they also want to have you productive too. So there's a lot of benefit for them as well.
Yes.
Now, would you suggest that people take the initiative and disclose their challenges? Or I know that sometimes people, especially if they're adults that have not been diagnosed or they're thinking they're on the spectrum, they're kind of afraid that they might be stigmatized if they talk about these things. How would you suggest that they maybe approach an employer when they have a challenge?
Sure. That's a very difficult issue. But I think... I think in general it is a good idea to, if you don't use the word autism and Asperger's, if you think that might be too much of a shock, then at least tell your employer about your sensory issues or anything that's preventing you from maybe doing your job, because that's legitimate. It should be addressed.
I agree with that. What would you say is probably your biggest challenge that you think you could probably attribute to being on the spectrum?
In the workplace?
In the workplace or at home, just in general. If there's more than one you want to talk to, that's fine.
Well, in the workplace, and the telephone, for one. I know that, answering incoming calls for me does not come as easily as for other people because it breaks my concentration. You know, I tend to get very focused on my work, and so if I'm answering incoming calls, you know, that disrupts the flow. In that case, again, I was also able to negotiate an accommodation, whereas I could let other people in the office handle the phone calls, and I would take responsibility for the email contact box. Mm-hmm. And so I ended up being the person who responds to, say, emails through our website, people asking questions through email and that kind of thing. And that's great because I can take my time with those and I can have my responses just how I like them. And I probably do the best job of that out of anybody. So.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you bring that up because, you know, here we are talking essentially on a phone, right? And I'm the same way. I do not like phones interrupting me. I can talk on the phone if I feel I have control in the conversation, there's some predictability, but it's that ring that just happens when you're in the middle of something else and you have no idea who's on the other end that can just really throw one off. And I think that your solution of, you know, still being able to assist with incoming messages, but in your way through email instead, is a great alternative. And like you said, you have kind of control over when you answer, what you say. You can think about what you say. You know, you don't have to worry about any awkward pauses in as you would make perhaps on the phone. So that's cool. That's a great way to solve that problem. As far as challenges at home, are there any things in the social world, anything that you want to talk about there?
Well, that kind of reminds me of another post that I did about a year ago called Blob. And that deals with group dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of just interacting with a group of new people. I find that, go to lunch or something or an activity with a group of people and I don't really connect with them and the group kind of starts moving as one and making decisions as one and you kind of lose your individuality and become part of this like group behavior and small talk and time to leave and whatever. And so I did a cartoon called Blob where Fuzzy meets a group of people and literally becomes part of this blob and he doesn't know how to react.
I love that title. I see it as a visual and I'm sure I have to go check it out afterwards, but keep going. I can kind of visualize in my own head where this might be going, but go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much the post.
Yeah.
And then it kind of has this this climax where the group is kind of chanting at him and going, "Chewy, chewy, chips ahoy, a blob, a blob." And that kind of, that actually is kind of like a non sequitur, kind of a silly thing, but that goes back to summer camp years ago as a child. And but just things like that just kind of pop into my head that I can slip into my cartoons, just odd things that I like to... That strike me as interesting and that I kind of fit there.
And when you're using, you know, things that happen from real life, you've got a lot of material to be able to pull from because you're constantly going through different experiences that you might be able to turn into a cartoon that's relevant to both others and funny to you as well.
Yes.
We have about 6 minutes left in our show, and I want to give you the opportunity to talk about anything else that we haven't covered yet. Is there anything that you'd like to share with our listeners about anything you're doing or anything we haven't covered?
Let me see. Well, one thing I could do if I could is plug some real life friends of mine, Juniper Hill Farms.
Absolutely.
I wanted to. I've been able to meet a lot of people through my blog online, but also some people in real life. And Juniper Hill is some people who actually I found out live very close to me. And what they are is an independent living community of adults on the autism spectrum. and it's a farm, and it's not a licensed facility or a group home, but simply really just a household, and they're actually just renters. They pay rent and live on the farm and work together and get assistance from support people. And so I've actually gone out to visit many times over the last year or so, and it's really kind of wonderful what they do. So I would say, especially if you're interested in alternative solutions to housing for people with autism as they move into adulthood, check out their site. It's really great. Diane Belnavis, who runs the program, is an excellent writer, has a great blog at Juniperhillfarms.org.
And where are they located?
They're in Landenburg, Pennsylvania, which is not far from Philadelphia.
You know, I'm glad that you brought that up and plugged that, because that is one of the biggest challenges, you know, in terms of finding services is, you know, where to, kids on the spectrum turn into adults on the spectrum, and where do they go after high school and living arrangements. And so I'm glad you mentioned that. Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about?
Let me see. I don't know if I talked very much about kind of the reception and reaction to my Dude, I'm an Aspie books and the posts, but the reaction has been, you know, just so positive, and it's kind of surprising to begin, like at the beginning when I started, just hearing from parents so much, and how useful it was for parents to either explain a diagnosis to their child or to explain to other adults how to understand their child. I keep hearing, you know, comments from people and just great stories. And I've heard from a mom who carries at least one copy with her at all times of my book and has shared it with other moms at a birthday party. And then her husband also kept a copy outside his cubicle at work, which was great. Heard another story very recently from a mom who had bought the book for her son who's in middle school. And one day his teacher was giving a presentation to the class about autism and using my book. And in the middle of the presentation, her son stood up and said, "I got this," meaning the book.
Uh-huh.
And he took over the presentation and did a question and answer session with his classmates. And that's just amazing to me.
That's awesome.
His mom
said... That really is. I mean, that's great. The cost of your book is very inexpensive. I know you want to make it accessible to, you know, to everyone out there. So please, listeners, go ahead and check that out. We have about 2 minutes left, so I didn't want to have to cut you off or anything like
mm-hmm.
that. But again, listeners out there, you can connect with Matt at dudeimanaspie.com, and you can pick up his book through Amazon or Barnes & Noble, or just go ahead and visit his site, and there are links there as well. You said that listeners can go ahead and interact with you through your blog as well. Is there a way that they can reach you?
Yes, you can go to my blog. I have an email contact if you want to email me. I'm on Twitter. You can follow me at Dude, I'm an Aspie. There's a Facebook page as well, facebook.com/Dude, I'm an Aspie. So, yeah, we're all over.
So there's a lot of great ways to get in touch with Matt and to keep on top of his cartoons and what he's doing, all of the great things with Plummix and Friends. And be sure to, again, go over to the PlummixandFriends.com website, watch their show, give your feedback so that you can see more of Plummix and Friends and more of Matt and Fuzzy and Friends. And so we're going to be closing down today since we have just a minute left. I want to thank Matt for taking the time on a Saturday morning or afternoon where he is to come on air with Autism Empowerment Radio. And any last goodbyes for our group?
Oh, thank you very much for having me. It's been great. Thank you.
You're welcome. You did an amazing job, and I really hope that our listeners out there will check out your work. It's great. It's inspiring. It's funny. Thank you again for coming on air. So it's been great having you.
Thank you.
Again, Again, dudeimanaspie.com, Matt Friedman. This has been Karen Krejcha with Autism Empowerment Radio. Please tune in on Wednesday. Our next guest, Jonathan Murphy of johnandcharacter.com. Thank you so much, Matt. And we're going to be off. Thank you.